main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Well, V. Paul Reynolds is still on vacation. Surprise, surprise. You get me, Jim Thorne, from the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And if you're listening to us tonight, you're listening to us on VOM, the voice of Maine, 103.9 FM Bangor, 101.3 Augusta, and 95.1 in Rockland. And tonight is Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, February 13th. I don't even know who's playing. What is it? The Dodgers and the Reds? Oh, wait, no. The Rams and the Bengals. We don't have a dog in the fight. We talked about this before the show. Tom Brady's not playing, and I think they're playing the game straight up. So I said if I was home, I'd be watching the game, but I definitely wouldn't be listening to the broadcasters, and I'd be listening to the Maine Outdoors. So welcome. Glad you tuned in. Maine's oldest and longest continuously running outdoor show dedicated to everything hunting and fishing in the state of Maine, and brought to you by the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And if you would like a subscription to the Northwoods Sporting Journal, my favorite magazine, you can call our office at 732-4880 or send them an email, or you could log on to sportingjournal.com. And their email, if you'd like to send them an email, is info@sportingjournal.com. And behind the bulletproof glass tonight, staying warm, our own Norm Plord. Hi, Norm. How are you?
Good, Jim. Yourself?
Well, I'm getting better by the minute.
Happy that things are cooling down a bit, because I'd be getting spring fever with this kind of weather we've been getting. You know?
Yeah, that 50-degree weather was...
For February?
That was quite a tease.
Like, wow.
Yeah. February thaw. New thing.
Hey, keep it coming.
Only about, I'm going to call it 2 weeks left in February. So,
yeah.
Tick-tock. Time's rolling on.
Exactly.
And we were talking about the sun, how high the sun was now.
Yeah.
You can really feel the warmth. So.
Oh, yes.
Good stuff. Well, also in the studio with us tonight, we have a couple special guests. I'm going to introduce 13-year-old Trafton Hutchins. He's up from Brooklyn, Maine, Brooklyn, not Brooklyn, New York, right?
Yep.
All right. Welcome to the show, and you're going to tell us all about your hunting and fishing adventures. Is that right?
Yep, if you want me to.
I'd love to have you. I'd love to have you talk to us about that, because that's what it's all about. And also with him is his Grant, the Honorable Sherm Hutchins from down in Penobscot.
You got that right.
Yes. How are things with you tonight, Sherm?
Everything is good. We need to apologize for the fact that we're drawing a lot of people away from the Super Bowl, but, you know, things are the way they are.
They give us a little kickback, you know, to do that. So as long as everybody's tuned in watching football and listening to the Maine Outdoors, life is good. Welcome. And full disclosure, the Honorable Sherm Hutchins is a state representative and serves as my wingman down in the State House, sits right next to me in the State House chambers. And Norm represents District 131, which is, Norm, you know it better than I do.
Oh,
it's Sherm.
Not Norm. Norm's over there saying, I don't know.
I represent the towns of Penobscot, Orland, Otis, Dedham, Verona Island, Prospect, and Stockton Springs.
Yeah. See, I'm real easy. I represent Herman Carmel and a little bit of Etna. So you get credit for remembering all the names of your towns, but... And Norm serves on Marine Resources with me, too. So
what? Are you still calling me Norm?
Did I say that?
You did it again.
Hello. Here, let me take a little vitamin juice. See how that works out, Drafton. Sorry about that, Norm. Sorry, Sherm. Senior moment. But tonight, what we're going to do is we are going to talk with Drafton, who is Sherm's 13-year-old grandson. And Sherm and I talk down in the state house, and we get thinking about all the things that we do to promote youth in the great outdoors of Maine. Most of you that are listening tonight, with the exception of what's his name, Jaden Ireland out there in Carmel, who listens every night and wins every trivia question. But we might get somebody on the coast today. But we a lot of times we overlook a lot of the things that are in Maine that are hunting and fishing and outdoor related, like lobstering, like clamming. We talked about trapping last time that I was on the show. And I think about everybody, you know, when you're 13 years old, like Drafton, and he loves to hunt, he loves to fish, and I remember what that was like when I was a young boy, and I have my grandson that I take out into the woods, and, you know, one grandson is 10, one is just turned 15, and even my granddaughters, you know, would take them out bird hunting and out into the woods and fishing, and, you know, that's fun, and that's what we do to make sure the next generation is catching on to the Maine outdoors. So we're going to talk a lot about that.
Drafton, are you the one who's been calling?
Yes.
Putting in face to our name to face, because I've known you on the telephone, but oh, neat, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Oh, it all comes full circle, doesn't it?
It does. That's interesting.
Imagine that. You're a long time listener.
I don't know. Grandpa told me about the show, I think...
2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've listened to it ever since.
Well, good. Good. Glad. And now you're part of it. That's fantastic. Well, all right. What we're going to do now is we're going to go to the Outdoor Digest. Tonight's Outdoor Digest is brought to you tonight and every night by my favorite outdoor hunting and fishing publication, the Northwoods Sporting Journal.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing, loving every day. Early in the morning.
All right. Well, let's see. Today's sunrise was at 6:38 a.m. Sunset was finally at 5 o'clock. So we had a length of day that was 10 hours and 22 minutes long, which works out to 1 hour and 35 minutes more than what it was back on December 22nd or whenever the earth started tilting back.
Keep it coming.
Keep it coming. It does. It grows a lot every day from here on out. You'll start to notice it. And then I think it's March, I want to say 17th or so, daylight savings time, when we spring ahead. So we have that to look forward to. Let's see. Our last full moon was on January 17th, and that was the wolf moon. And our next full moon is coming right up on Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, February 16th. And that one is known as the full snow moon. And then after that, March 18th is the worm moon. And that's the one that gets your hopes up because they have worm in there. And it means all the worms are coming back and all the robins are coming back and getting ready to go fishing. So that's what I like. And let's see what's going on. Well, next weekend, February 19th and 20th, that is Saturday and Sunday, is free fishing weekend. Foot stomp, foot stomp. There's going to be all kinds of fishing derbies all over the state of Maine next weekend. So if you are able to take a young person out, even if you don't have an ice auger, even if you don't have any tip-ups and traps, if you have nothing, I can guarantee you show up at one of these fishing derbies with a young person, and somebody's going to set them up with a trap and a hole to fish out of. So don't let that deter you. If you don't have the equipment, look up your local, where your local fishing derby and pond is, and make sure you take a young person out and take them ice fishing, and they always have good setups and hot dogs and all kinds of things. So, and looking forward, June 4th and 5th is the next free fishing weekend. And I just, I belong to the Presque Isle Elks, and they do a youth derby fishing tournament up there at Manna Lake Park on June 4th and 5th, that free fishing weekend. So I will be up there and take my grandson and granddaughter out and show them a good time fishing on the lake. So let's see. Of course, moose permit application is open. You only have until May 12th. It seems like a long time, but there's always somebody that's going to be out there saying, geez, you got until tomorrow to put your moose permit in. So get it early, get it taken care of. Maybe you'll be out moose hunting this fall. And they already have the, let's see, last year's moose harvest, where they had a 68% success rate, and they had issued over 4,000 permits. So that averaged out over 2,700 moose harvested, which was a pretty good number. And let's see.
Last weekend of the month, we have the Cabin Fever Reliever coming up and Brewer at the auditorium.
Oh, okay.
And that's a free event. And, you know, usually it's really good. A lot of information type things going on. Fly tires, mapping, bird dogs. I mean, it's a good event to go to. So you want to put it on your calendar.
I think I don't know if that's the one I get my NRA membership to. I had in the past.
I've gotten mine renewed there before.
Yeah. And of course, they're not doing the Orono show this year. They're not doing the Presque Isle show. And as far as I know, the Augusta show is still on. So keep that in mind. All right. Well, let's ask a trivia question. Let's see. Right there is the trivia question, Trafton. Would you mind reading that to the folks? That trivia question? How many?
Gotta find it. How many pounds of lobster are caught in Maine each year?
How many pounds of lobster are caught each year in Maine? If you think you know the answer, give us a call. 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back after this message.
He's got plenty to do. It just isn't.
Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, my name's Jim Thorne with the Northwoods Sporting Journal. You're listening to us tonight on 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 FM Augusta, and 95.1 Rockland, the voice of Maine. And before we went on break, we had a trivia question, Trafton. What was that trivia question?
How many pounds of lobster are caught in Maine each year?
All right. Norm, do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
All right. Caller, hello. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Jaden from Corinna.
Jaden from Corinna?
Yep.
How you doing, Jaden?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Well, hanging in there for a Sunday. You got the Super Bowl on?
No, I'm not watching it tonight.
Ah, okay. That's okay.
We had no horse in the race.
Yeah, I watch for the commercials anyway. And if we get in a pool, then that makes it interesting too.
Yeah, it does.
Well, did you hear the question? You have a stab at it?
I did. I'm going to go with 96 million.
96 million?
Yep.
Yeah. There was a word approximately in front of that Trafton didn't read anyway, so. That's close enough for my books. Yeah, it's awesome. Sometimes it's over 100 million pounds, sometimes just under 100 million pounds, but give or take right in that ballpark. So, yeah, you're right. 100 million pounds of lobster every year gets taken. So,
I think it probably will be a little under 100 million pounds this year because my son-in-law didn't start fishing till about a week late this year.
Okay. And was that what was that related to?
He was away.
Okay. Yep.
So I think it'll be down some.
Yeah, just because he didn't get a chance to go out.
David's a good fisherman.
Yeah. How many traps do you have?
800.
800, yeah. Is that the max?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Jaden, congratulations. And I didn't even say what you get, but you know what? Tonight, I'm going to make the call. Do you get the Northwoods Sporting Journal?
I do.
You do? Okay. Do you get a Mastic book? Have you got the latest Mastic? No?
Nope.
How about if I send you a Mastic book?
That'd be awesome.
All right. I got to get with Kyle Wentworth first, though, see if I can get one from him. He's at Mastic. He's been pretty good, and this by my last scheduled show for the winter, so maybe he'll make sure that we get one so we can send one to you. That would be great.
All right, sounds good.
All right, anything else on your mind tonight, Jaden?
Nope, just been tying flies, staying busy.
All right, so what do you tie for flies? Streamers or
streamers and nymphs.
Nymphs, yeah.
Yep.
I remember.
Dry flies.
Yeah, have you ever used a drop nymph?
I have.
With a strike indicator?
Yep.
Yeah. That's a hard concept for a kid that grew up in Aroostook County learning how to fly fish by throwing worms on top of their heads. Yeah.
Yeah. A pair of flies, a golden retriever. I've had more luck in that thing than any fly.
Yeah. Does that look like a warden's worry? Is that...
No, it's kind of like a woolly bugger, kind of with synthetic.
Yeah.
The fellow was on last week.
Okay, yeah. Doing the like a
the golden retriever?
Blood sucker?
Yeah. The golden retriever, yeah. It's a woolly bugger like. It's blonde and it's got the Aztaz for the chenille red body. Very effective. It's
anything with red sounds good to me.
Hit the area about 6 or 7 years ago, and it's been very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kill them on them. That's the only fly I like to use.
Yep.
Good deal. Well, all right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you listening, and don't hang up. Norm will get your vitals, and we'll get you one of those Mastic books.
Awesome. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thank you. All right. And if you're just joining us, my guests tonight are... Trafton Hutchins out of Brooklyn, 13 years old, and his grandpa, Sherm Hutchins, who is a state representative on marine resources out of Penobscot. And we get talking, you know, down at the state house about everything, and Sherm says, geez, my grandson just loves to hunt and fish. And I said, really? Yeah. And he's a fan of the show. Okay. Well, there. That's what we're looking for. And it got me thinking, you know, we all start out. I remember when I was young and I was, you know, the first time I could carry a BB gun and the first time I could carry a .22. And we used to get little radiuses of where we could go and where we couldn't go in the woods. We had our cutoff, this road, that road. And it always expanded. Whenever you went out there, sometimes you'd see partridge, sometimes you'd see deer, and you'd be like, oh, geez, I can't wait until I can hunt deer or I can hunt partridge or carry a shotgun. And for me, I remember I had a shotgun deer hunting with my dad. And we were in Stacyville, and we walked down over into the woods. And my father and I are just a little bit apart. I'm 13 years old, and I had a shotgun in case we saw a partridge, and he had the rifle. Well, a deer stood up behind a blowdown. And the deer and I are standing right there looking at each other. And all you can see is the head. And I told my father, I said, deer standing right there. He says, where? Where? I said, right there. He couldn't see it. So finally the deer ran away. And, you know, hindsight, we got looking at it. If we'd traded guns, he'd give me the rifle and I'd give him the shotgun. I could have shot that deer between the eyes. But as it turned out, the deer got away because he didn't see him. So after that, I carried a rifle. So... this young man that sits with me tonight and his grandpa is into fishing and into hunting, because I had a phone call with him before the show. And how many deer have you got, Trafton?
Three.
Three deer. And you love to fish. I know that.
Yep.
Because you pretty much knew everything there was to know about line and lures and bass beds and everything like that. And you got talking about your deer. What was your first deer?
It was a doe.
How old were you?
11, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was 11.
Yeah, and who with your uncle or?
My dad.
Your dad, yeah. Was that a youth day hunt?
Yep.
Yeah. And you remember that morning pretty vividly, do you?
Yep.
Yeah, was that a first daylight or did you get to watch it for a while?
No.
No?
It was about, I don't know, probably 7 o'clock, 7:30.
Oh, okay. Were you watching a field or you out in the woods?
Well, we got to our spot,
mm-hmm.
and we looked out, and there was a deer standing there.
Just so, like that?
Yep.
Wow.
So I got it.
Did you freehand shoot it, or did you lean up? Did you have a gun rest? Or?
Well, I didn't really have time. I just freehand shot it.
Yeah? How far away was it about?
Probably, I don't know, 50 yards?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe more.
And what were you shooting for a gun?
308.
308. Wow. That'll put him down pretty fast, huh?
Yep. She didn't go anywhere.
No, dropped right there. And you subsequently have got a couple more deer.
Yep.
Yeah. And you just got one last year. Did I understand that?
Yep.
Yeah. What was that one? What day was that? Was that youth day or was that during the regular?
It was opening day of like the main citizens day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The Saturday before.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Not a lot of competition out there where you hunt?
Well, yeah, there is.
Yeah. Just got to know a good spot. Do you scout it out?
No.
No? You just pretty much know that there's deer in the area? And
usually.
Get a good lay of the land? And
yeah.
Hunt a lot of probably the same area year after year?
Yep.
Yeah, familiar with it, so. All right. Well, we're going to take a commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk some more, and we're going to talk a little bit about lobstering, too, because that always fascinates me, and you live down there in lobstering country, so I want to hear a little bit about that, and then we're going to talk about your fishing.
All right.
All right. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne, with the Northwoods Sporting Journal. You have a question for us, you can call us anytime, 1-800-966-1039, 1-800-966-1039. And if you're listening to us, you're listening to us on VOM, the Voice of Maine, 103.9 FM out of Bangor, 101.3 FM Augusta, and 95.1 FM Rocklands. And let's see, our guest tonight, 13-year-old Trafton Hutchins, out of Brooklyn, Maine, and his grandpa, Sherm Hutchins, out of, I always want to say Bucksport, but it's not. Bucksport is within your thing, isn't it?
It will be in the new district.
In the new district.
Yes.
But
I live in Penobscot.
Penobscot, so.
The town of Penobscot.
The town, not the county, right?
That's right.
Okay. And Sherm and I serve on Marine Resources in the Maine legislature, and, you know, we see a lot of things that come down, and you think, you know, we're lucky here on the Maine Outdoors. V. Paul Reynolds has a lot of experience in the outdoors, and he used to work with IFNW. He used to work with the Bangor Daily News and as an editor there, and he has a lot of knowledge. We have Matt Dunlap, who also co-hosts on occasion. We have Greg Burr, fisheries biologist. Norm Plourde has lived all over the state from the young boy that he was up in the St. John Valley to now, and, you know, he knows all there is to know about Grand Stream from what I've heard. Haven't gone out there with him, but, you know, someday I'm going to go out and hook a lip, see how it all goes down. But what we do is we think about all the things that are working against the fishermen, the lobstermen in Maine. And that's an aspect we don't talk about a lot here on the Maine Outdoors, but I want to touch on it just for a minute because the Maine fishermen, the lobstermen, Sherm, are facing a lot of adversity right now.
Yeah, facing a tremendous amount. There's the legal defense fund that the governor has is also going to be of some assistance, helping defend against the over-regulation and that type of thing. And we also are going to be listening to a new bill tomorrow, I think, on the legal defense fund that Billy Bob Falkingham, Representative Billy Bob, has put together to have another $80 million taken out of a couple of the funds that lobstermen already pay into. They want to take 5% out of the marketing and a couple of things like that.
And that's a contributory fund that a lot of them pay to now.
That's right. And I'm in hopes the fishermen, anyway, are very much in favor of that, because if they can't protect their fishing, then the marketing people aren't going to have anything to sell. So so taking a small section out of that to help keep the lobsters going is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we're trying to do. I know there are a lot of things working against them. The right whale restrictions, offshore wind development. I know right now there's almost 1,000 square mile area that's been off limits for 4 months to lobstering, just in case a right whale might swim through there.
Yeah, that area is where my son fishes, and he fishes in that 975 square mile area, or did,
yeah.
And they're back in it again now because the closure is off for a while.
Yeah.
But that makes it very difficult, because fishermen are very territorial. They have certain areas that they fish,
right.
And if you step on someone else's toes,
yeah,
that can cause hard feelings. And so if we start closing down large sections of area, that's going to cause more and more problems.
Yeah, push everybody onto each other. So, well, good. We'll keep an eye out for that and keep our nose to the grindstone. In the meantime, Trafton, you do a different kind of fishing. You like to bass fish, I hear.
Yep.
Yeah. Where do you like to bass fish, and how do you go about it?
Well, I'm not allowed to say.
Oh, what do you mean you're not allowed to say?
He's a fisherman.
Oh, can't get any secret? Will you tell me off air?
Sure.
I promise not to tell anyone?
Sure.
Okay. Got that to go with. But do you like going out, do you motorboat, do you go out in a canoe, or how does that work?
Well, at our camp that we bought, I have a 12-foot aluminum boat.
Yeah.
I fish out of that. A lot of times out of a canoe, too.
Yeah. Mostly oars and paddles.
Well, we have a trolling motor.
Okay. Well, that works. That works.
And we were ice fishing there Friday all day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Any luck?
Well, I think we got 7 fish and probably, I don't know, a dozen flags.
Okay. And what type of fish you bring out?
All bass.
All bass? Yeah. Now, I couldn't remember if you said you like eating them, or you give them somebody else who likes to cook them, or...
They're all right. I don't really like them. Usually, if we get a big one, we give it to a neighbor.
Yeah. How about trout fishing? Do you like trout fishing in the spring and summer?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you fish for them? Fly fish, or...?
Usually I use worms.
Worm.
That works the best.
And spinners, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way that I went about it. I was a self-taught fly fisherman. I went out and bought a whole rod and reel and flies and everything, and didn't know what I was doing, and throw it out enough times, and you get a hungry, stupid fish, and you say you're a good fly fisherman after then. So, good deal. And you are you liked ice fish, you said.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's, how do you use live bait for that, or...
Yeah, we use live shiners, usually.
Yeah. You going anywhere next weekend for the tournament or derbies or anywhere? Or you just...
Yeah, we're going to our camp.
Oh, okay. And that's, you talked about that, too. That's, you're off the grid there. You're not, no electricity.
No.
You got propane lights. And did I hear you got coming up? You may have got a refrigerator from Al Elkin over there?
I don't know where we got it.
Don't know where, but you got one. So you can testify... The propane refrigerators, that's the important thing.
Yeah, last year's derby, he won first and second place in the trout fish.
Wow. Why doesn't that surprise me? Was that rainbow trout or?
Brook trout.
Brook trout? Yeah. How big was it?
Well, the first one was, I think it was almost 18 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And nice. It was like 2.2 pounds after it had been sitting out on the ice. So it was probably more like 2.5 when I brought it out of the hole.
Yeah. And you hadn't, we were talking about this earlier as far as the bass fishing on the beds. You go out after they're on the bed spawning, or?
While they're on them.
While they're on them, yeah. You do a lot of, do you release or do you keep and catch?
At our camp, it's they're invasive. There was a native trout pond, so we have to kill them all.
Okay, when you catch them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have somebody that you give the fish to that likes to have them, or?
Yeah, we usually, if it's a big one, we give it to Alan Smith, a family friend.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two brothers and one sister.
Older, younger?
One younger brother and one older brother and an older sister.
Yeah. Do they like to hunt and fish too, or?
My younger brother likes to fish.
Yeah.
And he likes the thought of hunting.
Right. Until it's time to get up, right?
Yeah. And my older brother, he likes to hunt and fish, but not as much as me. My sister doesn't really like it.
So you're the provider of the family?
I guess.
Yeah, you provide. Do they like to eat deer meat?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. Keep them fed.
Yep.
That's the way we do it. And that was, now do you have a hunt license you get every year, or do you have a lifetime hunt and fishing license?
Since I'm a youth, I don't think I need to get one until I'm 16.
Right. So when you do a youth license or anything, you just have to be with somebody? You can go out on your own.
Fishing license, right. You can do it whenever. But hunting license, you have to be with somebody, I think.
Yeah. And then when you went to tag it,
yeah,
you tagged it in your name and had the... Your dad or your uncle? Your dad?
It was my dad.
Yeah. Well, good. And we talk about that for anybody that's listening, because I had a friend up north, and he has a grandchild that's due in weeks. And I talked to him about a lifetime hunting and fishing license, which I happened to get for my two grandsons on their first birthday. And I looked it up, and it's only $250. If they're under 5 years of age.
Oh.
So if, and then it goes up and then it goes back down again once you get over 70.
Yes, I remember voting on that many years ago as a former.
IFNW? Legislator?
As a former legislator 30 years ago. I remember voting for the license over 70, thinking that, boy, I'll never get that. Son of a gun.
Here you are. Well... It's time for us to go on a commercial break again. They happen just like that, Drafton. One right after another. And this one is Al Elkin over at General Appliance in Brewer on 91 Center Street. And if you wanted to call them, it is 989-4341. And they carry a lot of off-grid appliances. If you don't have electricity, these guys are the ones to know. And he's smart. He's been doing this for years. And he will walk you through it. I know, because I am not a plumber. I'm not an electrician. And I had he talked me into a tankless water heater at our camp, propane. So all it does is, and it doesn't even have a pilot light. It has a battery that sparks a pilot light when you call for hot water. So when you're not using hot water, whether you're there or you're not there, you're not using propane, which is a big thing. Because I think he's got me talked into a stove too, because our stove has three pilot lights. It has two for each burner up top. And then it has another one down in the oven.
Yep.
And those, you know, rather than start those and stop them and turn it off, I just leave them going. And, but, you know, over the course of the summer, if you leave this pilot light on, that pilot light on, this burner, you know, the heat the hot water the way I used to with the tank, it consumes a lot of propane. So Go see Al Elkin. He is, again, over on 91 Center Street in Brewer, or you can call him 989-4341, and he will help you. Even if you need something that needs servicing or repairs, or you have questions, or maybe you have a new camp and you want to set up some lights or a stove or a refrigerator or a heater, we got our heater from him, and that works out great. Doc, right through the blower situation, you need electricity or generator to work the blower, but anything you need, he can help you, or if he can't help you, he'll send you in the right direction. Al Elkin over at General Appliance Street, General Appliance in Brewer. And if you're just joining us, I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne with the Northwoods Sporting Journal, and with me tonight is 13-year-old Trafton Hutchins out of Brooklyn, Maine, and his grandpa, Sherm Hutchins, out of Penobscot, Maine, state representative for House District 131,
yep,
down through the coastal area of Penobscot and Prospect and all through.
Yes.
And we were talking about marine resources earlier, you know, with all that the and we even got on the Pogies, the Menhadens, you know, which is an issue. You wouldn't think it is, but bait, fishermen need bait to catch lobsters. And this is a commodity that, again, Department of Marine Resources regulates how much you can catch, and they're in different areas of the ocean at different times. And we just talked about that last week.
That's right. We'll be working on that again Tuesday, I expect, and it's one of those things that I think we're going to have to try to make it so there's a pathway for more people to get into the fishing of pogies as they increase again. Like I was mentioning years ago, 30 years ago, we had huge amounts of pogies. I had a bill in at that time to sell 1 million pounds of pogies a year to the Russians, and they sent a ship over, the Riga.
Wow.
And Captain Mick invited all of us on the Marine Resources Committee to go out and have lunch on the Riga.
Yeah.
You had to hang on the whole time because everything was slippery.
Oh, yeah.
As you can well imagine.
Yes.
With anything to do with pogies.
Yeah.
The whole ship was slippery.
Imagine that.
All but his fancy dining room, which was kind of neat.
Huh.
You had to be careful to not touch your glass, because the minute you took a sip out of it, somebody was there to put vodka in it.
You know, when I was in the Air Force up in Alaska when I was a young man, and a lot of times the Russian fishing trawlers would come into port there, and I don't know how it worked, but they'd be able to come in, and they had their visas or passports or whatever, but they'd go around the town of Anchorage, which was about the size of Portland. And they'd go out to the bars, and they'd go out to dinner and everything like that. And on the Air Force base, you know, we were basically briefed, you know, don't go out drinking with the Russians. So we kind of termed that. We said, no brewskis with the Ruskies. but, you know, hey, we all have fun, right, Trafton?
Yep.
What else do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You guys went out and got some fishing gear today, I understand,
yep,
up here in the big city.
Yep.
Yeah. And hold that thought. I think we have somebody that is on the line. Hello, caller. Are you there? Where are you calling from? What's your name?
Yeah, I'm calling from Parkman, Lynn, from Parkman. Hey, I had a question to ask the guys about down on the ocean.
Yeah.
Our bluefish had disappeared. Is that because of the pogies disappeared and the mackerel disappeared? There's not the mackerel and the pogies around that used to be around. And I used to go down there and, you know, they used to have the tournament, bluefish tournament. They don't even have that anymore. And I was wondering if they could give me a reason why they all disappeared.
Bluefish, yeah.
I think this year was a real good year for bluefish. Part of it was because the pogies are increasing. And pogies are into more of the state than they have been for a long time. The Western Maine used to have the lion's share of pogies, but this year even Stonington and down in Washington County had some fairly good runs of of pogies. So that'll help bring the bluefish and the mackerel back in.
Right, yeah. I remember in the 80s, they used to, down there in the Kennebec, they'd push them right on shore. There'd be so many of them. You go down there fishing, the bluefish would chase them, put the pogies right up on the shore.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I've seen that happen, and it sometimes makes for a big cleanup problem. I saw that happen on Bailey's Island once.
Awful.
Yeah, schooling and schooling.
My question, I was just wondering, I thought that would they'd come back when that happened.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty encouraging from everything that I've heard, testimony people provided.
Yeah, again, the water is a little bit warmer right now, perhaps like it was 30 years ago, and that's helping bring the pogies not only into Maine, but into eastern Maine.
Right, and the bluefish and the mackerel and everything else will come in behind them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nothing more fun to catch than a striper.
Yeah, yeah. I caught a big striper one time, and it was actually by coincidence because I was down and stationed at Pease Air Force Base in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and I went over to the shipyard, and some buddy of mine were fishing over there for stripers, and the schoolies came in, and I think it was a slot limit back then. It was like you could keep between 25 and 30 or something like that, and then between 30 and 39 you had to turn them back, and then anything over 40 inches you could keep. Well, I just got back from a trout fishing trip, and I had my fly rod, and I was catching pollock. I believe it was pollock.
Yep.
And I was just leaving it in the water for a minute, and, geez, a big fish came up and took that bird off my line. I only had a little trout line, so, of course, it snapped. And
yep.
They had the heavy-duty rods. I said, I caught one, another pollock, and I said, let me use your rod for a minute. And, boom, big 40-plus-inch striper came up and hit that, and the guy didn't even want to reach in and grab it. He said, I never seen one that big. But it was, and he said, it's over 40 inches, so you can keep it. And that was some good fish. Yeah, sea bass. I like that.
Trafton likes to catch salmon out to our other camp on Alligator Lake as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the way to go. Is it spring best time for salmon out there?
Yeah.
Trolling?
Yep.
Yeah. And what do you use for rigging on the trolling?
Well, usually just normal light line with spoons and stuff.
Yeah.
Moose hook wobblers.
Yeah. And you said you tried sewn smelt, but that's got to be done just right. There's an art to that.
Yeah, I can't do it very well.
Yeah, and if they're not on right, they, you know, you might as well be dragging a rock out there, right?
Yeah. It's tricky.
Yeah. Well, maybe sometime get into the salmon that when get up into some of these bigger lakes up north. I know they have some pretty good salmon. If you ever get a chance to go up there, if your dad has any connections to go up there, a lot of times, you know, trolling ice out, spring trolling is pretty good up that way too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Trafton, I want to thank you for taking the time to come by tonight with your grandpa and talk to us about hunting and fishing. And for for everybody listening, I just, again, wanted to prove the point to you that there's a lot of young people out there that really and truly love to hunt and fish. And if we don't take them out and introduce them and let them see what the experience is all about, you know, they're not going to know. And it, young people today, getting them off the tablets and off the iPhones and out into the woods and walking and deer hunting and things like that. You know, that's an experience that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. And if we don't do it, nobody else will. And that's the key takeaway, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you probably look forward to, you said you wanted the ice to stay around longer because you must like ice fish.
Yeah, I want it to stay around a little longer.
Well, you know anybody up north, it'll be around up there until golfing weather down here. So, well, good. Well, keep fishing, keep hunting, be safe, and hope you have great luck this fall deer hunting.
Yep.
Soon you'll be able to, we talked about maybe going on a moose hunt sometime.
Yeah, I would like to get a moose permit. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you don't even need to have a moose permit to, you know, go up in the woods when, you know, late September, early October, when the moose are in rut.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you can call them out and you can see quite a bit because they're on the move and they're not as secretive as when they are during the summer and the fall. So,
yeah,
something to look forward to. And they got a lot of meat. You think a deer's got a lot of meat?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Fishing up in Baxter State Park was always fun and a good chance to see moose. You're catching fish, but you're looking for many moose, and you'd always see quite a number of them. I haven't been up for several years, but
yeah. Well, I will leave everybody listening with this. Take a kid out fishing. Take a kid out in the woods. Take him out hunting. And introduce him to what we know so well. And next week, Bob Mercer will be in the hot seat here as host. He's down Bucksport Way.
Yep.
And talked to him a few weeks ago. So he has a lot that he's going to want to talk about down his way and that he's involved in. And he'll be your host. I don't know if he has a guest coming up or not, but if you tune in, I'm sure you'll learn something good from Bob. And we ask you to turn in right here on WVOM, the Voice of Maine, next week, right here on the Maine Outdoors.